This is Shamir Young, bringing you the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast. Listen in as award-winning photographers discuss how they find opportunities, market their talent, and overcome mistakes to become respected, ever-advancing professional creatives. You'll also hear about their hard-learned lessons, as well as tips for making awesome images. You ready to take your photography business to the next level? Let's do it. And if you haven't already, be sure to pick up your free photography business bundle at prophotographerjourney.com/freebusinessbundle. It's 4 weeks of helpful free gifts delivered every 7 days directly to your email inbox. The first thing you'll get is the PDF e-guide titled 12 Common Business Tips and Mistakes Photographers Wish They'd Known Before Going Pro. And believe me, I've made quite a few of these mistakes myself. After that, you'll get a new free gift every week that will help you propel your photography business forward. So head on over to prophotographerjourney.com/freebusinessbundle and get yours today. Also, if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave a review in iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews I get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast in search rankings. And I want to reach as many people as possible. So again, please leave a review. I really appreciate it. All right, let's get to the interview. Hey everybody, Shamir Young here. Welcome to this recap episode. Today I'm going to talk about what I felt were the most important talking points and takeaways from my discussion with Lisa Hammond. Now, Lisa is a wedding photographer and she's here in Michigan and she is just killing it. She is running her business like a boss. So it was awesome to talk to her and hear how she does things. If you haven't listened to her interview yet, I highly recommend that you do so. It is the episode directly before this one. And after you listen to the episode, you can come back to this episode or you can listen to this episode first, where I give a summary of our discussion, and then you can go back and listen to Lisa's interview episode. So whatever order you do it in, it's totally up to you. Just make sure you listen to her interview episode. So we touched on a lot of good points, and sometimes the amount of information that we talk about in the interviews can kind of be a lot, kind of overwhelming. So that's why I want to give you a quick distillation. So let's get to the good stuff. One of the first things that really stood out to me in my discussions with Lisa is that she focuses on building relationships and friendships with related vendors in her industry. Now, she is a wedding and portrait photographer. And so for her, related vendors would be florists, for example, people who sell flowers that brides need, or people who run halls or event spaces. Because a bride and groom, they're going to need to rent an event space. And so she really leverages the audience of these vendors. Now, what's key here is that she's targeting vendors that share her same audience. That's huge. So Lisa, her main audience is brides, obviously, brides and grooms, right? And so she's targeting vendors who have the same audience. And so when she networks, she said she targets these vendors. Now, she recently moved from Kentucky up to Michigan, and she said a full 8 months before she moved up here to Michigan, she started getting in touch with related vendors, so florists, bridal shops, and getting in touch with these people, wedding planners also. She would introduce herself and begin building relationships with them and getting to know them. Now, she said when she's building these relationships with vendors, she's seeing them as people. So it's not just, hey, I want to know about you so that you can refer clients to me because I need clients and I need money. No. Lisa said that she wanted to get to know how they're doing, how their family's doing, how are their kids doing, so that by the time she moved up here, she would have some type of relationship established with them. And then the in-person networking events that she goes to, she would surround herself, she would target out networking events where these people would be, and she would get to know them further. So it's about building friendships because it does work both ways, right? So if a bride were to come to Lisa and say, I'm looking for a photographer, and by the way, it may come up in conversation that I don't have a florist or I could use a wedding planner because this wedding is getting out of hand, Lisa will have a group of people, a group of vendors that she can refer the bride to. So it's really about community and collaboration with business. And this is true not just for photography, but I firmly feel for anything. And so for you, look at the type of photography that you do and ask yourself, what vendors complement your type of photography, your niche? And then, after you've determined what vendors would work best, and so for Lisa, it was florists, wedding planners, for example. For me, I'm focusing on small business photography. And so for me, it's the Chamber of Commerce, for example. That has been huge because their audience is other businesses. And here in the Port Huron area, we have a lot of small businesses, like 1 to 10 employees. And so that is also my focus. And so knowing that the chamber shares my audience, I make an effort to go out to chamber networking events. I join the chamber, obviously, and I make an effort to go out to networking events and get to know the businesses. And also any kind of promotion that I can do with the chamber has been totally insanely useful for me as well. Because the chamber, especially a smaller chamber where I'm at, they do enjoy promoting the events that their members are hosting or throwing, or the events that we're doing. So I had a portrait party, and the chamber helped promote that to their members, and that was perfect because my audience is their audience. So who is your audience? And then where does your audience hang out? And then what vendors serve your audience? And then how can you put yourself in front of these vendors? And then how can you get to know these vendors? Now, when I say vendor, that can be a business, that can be an organization, that could even be a nonprofit. It's these entities that have the same audience as you. And that's huge because if you're able to build a good relationship with these entities, with these businesses, these organizations, these vendors, you're able to reach a lot more people at a time, ultimately, meaning that because they share your audience, if they like you and know you and trust you, then these vendors can spread the word to their audience. And that's much more effective than you just going to one potential client at a time manually. So it's all about working together. The second point I want to make is that when dealing with your clients, focus on connecting with them. You want to connect with the people, with the clients that you're working with, that you're shooting. And this is even true for pre-clients, potential clients, whatever you want to call it. From the moment that they first come in contact with you, they need to be establishing a connection with you. Or if you want to flip it around the other way, you need to be making an effort to establish a connection with them. So a great example of this is your about page on your website. This is huge because when people are looking for a photographer, and let's say they stumble on your page from Google, or even if a friend recommends you to them, they want to see your website, your portfolio, they're also going to check out the about page. The about page is so important because it gives you a chance to really introduce yourself to them and also to establish why you're doing what you're doing. So this helps the potential client learn about you. Now, if you look at Lisa's about page, it's awesome. I'll include a link in the show notes. She talks about more than just her being a wedding photographer, which, you know, obviously that's what she is. But she also gives other details about herself that make her more like a real person. So she talks about her caffeine addiction, for example. Or, well, I'm paraphrasing. I don't think she said caffeine addiction. She said she loves coffee and caffeine, which I identified with that right away because I love coffee, for better or for worse. So she uses it as an opportunity for people to get to know her on a personal level. I like that she mentioned some of her quirks, which is awesome because it makes you a little bit vulnerable and it really helps the potential client. In her case, it's usually a bride-to-be. It helps that bride-to-be get to know who she is. And also you want to include why you're doing what you're doing, which I mentioned briefly, but I want to go into it a little bit more. So these days people hire photographers because of why they do what they do, almost as much, if not more, than what you do. So if you take an amazing photo, that's great. But these days, there are a heck of a lot of photographers taking amazing photos. And so to stand out, you need to really communicate your why. Why are you a wedding photographer? Lisa mentions on her page that she's been in a loving relationship for years and years. And right away, she's communicating to the bride that she understands love. And isn't that huge? If you're a bride looking for a wedding photographer who's going to capture your special day, your once-in-a-lifetime event, well, hopefully once-in-a-lifetime, but this one-time event, you absolutely want a photographer that understands love because you want that love to be captured in the photos taken on your wedding day. And so I encourage you to inject your passion into your about page and tell why you do what you do. If you're a family portrait photographer, maybe your why is that you love helping families grow closer together. Maybe that's why you do it. Maybe you're a family portrait photographer because you want to immortalize that family relationship and really capture that moment in time. Maybe that's why you do it. If you don't have a why, then I suggest you actually take some time to formulate your why. It can be a huge undertaking. I'm working on my why as we speak. And it's cool. It's really cool. It's taking me weeks, actually. Weeks and weeks to really formulate it together and then to be able to verbalize it to clients. But it will revolutionize how you do your business, from the words that you use to describe yourself on your website all the way down to how you interact with your clients person to person on an individual level, even to how you take their photos. So focus on connecting with your client. And then my final point that I'd like to make is that you should consider in-person sales consultations and selling physical products. So for Lisa, her end goal is for her clients to walk away with physical products in their hands. Now, digital files are great, and depending on your client's needs, sometimes it's appropriate. I know that's a huge debate right now, but oftentimes when you give clients digital files, they intend to do something with it, and they don't quite often, or they'll misplace it. Or if they do use the digital file, they might print like a 5x7 or a cheap 8x10 at the drugstore up the street. And so as photographers, one service that we can really offer our clients is to help walk them through the process of getting these digital files converted into something high quality and awesome that they can put on their wall, like a 16x20 canvas or a big framed print, something that has so much impact. And a lot of times clients don't know. They don't realize, and they don't know what they don't know. And so Lisa mentioned that she sees it as a service that she's offering to her clients when she does an in-person sales consultation to help walk them through the process of selecting the best product that they can use for their photos, or that they can create from their photos. I know a lot of people are squeamish about the whole sales conversation. I think that's a tough point with a lot of photographers. It seems like we struggle with selling ourselves and selling our services and selling physical products. But it's something we have to get over, you know? I mean, it's sure it makes us uncomfortable, but we're running a business, right? And so sales is part of that process. Now, if you can start to change your mindset from, oh, I feel sleazy because I'm trying to sell, if you can change it over to, I'm further helping my client by providing this in-person sales consultation service to select a product that will have maximum impact that they can have for generations and generations in their family, then that will help that squeamishness go away a bit. Now, it'll take time, but the more you do it, the easier it'll become. So I encourage you to have in-person sales consultations. Now, after the shoot, this involves going to your client's office, if they're a business, or going to their home, or having them come to your studio. Wherever you are or they are, you need to come together with them and sit down and walk them through the finished photos from your shoot, and then walk them through the process of selecting the best product for them. So showing them a selection of products. You could have physical samples that you show them, which is awesome. You could even use digital software that will show them how a particular photo will look hanging on the walls of their family living room, for example. I'm actually going through a test trial with Sprout Studio, and it's awesome because one of their features is the sales galleries, where they have preloaded rooms already in the software. So when I sit down with a client and I've already taken the client's photo, so this is after the shoot, I can actually show them how their photo will look up on a wall in different sizes. And if that client wants to see what the photo will look like on their own living room wall, then they can upload a photo of their actual living room. And then we can put that photo on the living room wall, and that helps them visualize what it'll look like. It'll help them pick a size that is the most effective. And ultimately, it helps you have more sales at the end of the day. And the thing is, you're not being salesy or sleazy. You're being super helpful to your client. And they will have an end product that they are much more happy with. So I encourage you to work on in-person sales. And also, since I'm on this topic, I want to finally suggest that You start the sales process even before the shoot happens. So a client comes to you and they say, we need a family portrait done. We haven't had one done in 10 years. My kids are growing super fast. We need a good portrait of everybody. My oldest daughter's going off to college soon, so it'll be hard to get everyone together after a year, so we need to do this summer. You can sit down and discuss what type of shots they're looking for, but also have that initial conversation with them about where they would like this awesome family portrait to hang in their house. You could have the consultation at their house where you actually walk around with them and select spots where they can put the photos so that even before the actual shoot happens, they already have it in their mind what sizes and what materials, canvas, frame prints, whatever, they have in their mind what products are going to go on the wall. And they're visualizing it there so that after the shoot, after you've taken the photos, it becomes much easier to make those sales. It becomes much easier to sell those products. And it also becomes much easier to please your client. Your client is happy because you delivered what you said you would deliver, which is a physical product hanging in a prominent spot above their fireplace in their home. So that brings us to the end of this episode. I hope you got at least one idea or concept that you can apply to your business. I hope I didn't rant too much. If I did, oh well, I've had a lot of caffeine. So, and we're passionate about our photography businesses, right? Yes. We should be passionate about our photography businesses as it is. So awesome. So I'll talk to you all next time. Go out and build the photography business of your dreams. Are you getting ready for your first photo shoot and need to learn some common mistakes to avoid? Or maybe you need to learn how to communicate with your clients and grow your business through email marketing. Or perhaps you're just getting started with your website and you're trying to figure out this WordPress hosting stuff. When you're in business for yourself, it's a lifelong learning process for sure. And that's why I've set up the Pro Photographer Journey Resource Center. You can learn all of this and more through my free and paid self-paced online courses. Each course focuses on these individual topics and is designed to hold your hand every step of the way and help you learn how to run your business more successfully. You'll also find a host of other tools in the Resource Center that are useful for running your photography business, many of which I use myself. From email marketing tools to forming an LLC for your business to cool image editing software, it's there. And wherever possible, I include coupon codes to these online services so that you can grab a discount. So check it out at prophotographerjourney.com/resource center. That's prophotographerjourney.com/resource center.